252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Widespread Russian rocket attacks across Ukraine. Air raid sirens sounding over central Kyiv today. The Russian attack striking cities from Lviv to Kharkiv, with 5 people killed, at least 10 people reported hurt, and an attack in Dnipro. Even more rain today in Waterso, California. Belinda Arregaya, the executive director of the nonprofit Alliance.
It's been such a hard time for us here. We have seen so many suffering because flood came into their homes, especially in our farm worker community. Appliances that have been displaced and not working. They can't cook. We lost electricity.
As a special counsel looks into classified documents from President Biden's time as vice president, founded his home in Washington office, the announcement today of more documents discovered in an area adjacent to Biden's garage. This is another special counsel looks into the classified documents that were found at former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. This is ABC News. Former President Trump's real estate company, sentenced this week for breaking tax laws, now has 2 weeks to pay up. Jurors finding the Trump Organization paid executives off the books for well over a decade. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
None benefited more than Alan Weisselberg, the former chief financial officer who pleaded guilty to evading nearly $2 million in taxes. This week, he began serving 5 months in jail. The defense tried to pin the scheme on Weisselberg, but prosecutors said some of the fraud was explicitly sanctioned from the top down. They never charged Trump himself, but they did say the investigation continues.
The Trump Organization sentenced to paying the maximum penalty, $1.6 million, and they promised to appeal. Lisa Marie Presley will be buried at Graceland next to her son Benjamin, Father Elvis, and other members of the Presley family. Her daughter Riley's rep confirming the plans as tributes for the singer-songwriter who died on Thursday keep pouring in. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Advocates for older Wisconsinites say the next state budget needs to prioritize the needs of seniors and the people who care for them. Here's Mike Mohn.
The legislature is being asked to reconsider the idea of a caregiver tax credit. Helen Marks-Dix of AARP Wisconsin says it's been debated in previous sessions, but the problem hasn't gone away. She notes there are nearly 600,000 unpaid family caregivers in Wisconsin. We're feeling a lot of pressure right now.
They are spending about $7,000 out of their own pockets, and that doesn't count lost wages, lost retirements, or other things.
That figure represents annual average spending for each caregiver. The plan calls for a tax credit for some family members to reimburse up to 50% of certain expenses, with a limit of $500 per care recipient. The proposal has bipartisan support, but has struggled to make it out of committee. Dix feels that the current budget surplus of $6 billion might spur more fruitful negotiations. Dix says now is the time to make life a little easier for the state's aging population and address some of the growing obstacles that older residents face.
This is an opportunity when we have hopefully both the money and the goodwill to tackle this problem and to put the solutions in place before it gets to be more of a crisis.
Wisconsin is no stranger to a divided government, but Dix says there appears to be a sense of compromise in the air. Democratic Governor Tony Evers is expected to unveil his biennial budget proposal in mid-February. Following that, the Republican-led Joint Finance Committee throws in its suggestions before sending it to the full legislature. Evers will then have a chance to sign it, reject it, or apply changes with his partial veto power. Mike Mohn, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
You, your family, your friends, and your community are valuable and worth protecting. If you head into your night out with this thought at the top of your mind, you'll be ahead of the game. Sure, have fun going out with your friends, but don't get behind the wheel of a car during or after that fun if you've been drinking. The risk is far too great that you may hurt yourself, your loved ones, or others around you. Stay safe. Don't drink and drive. This message is brought to you by Wisconsin Spice, the world's premier manufacturer of mustard solutions.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network, civicmedia.us. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, I am going to be playing speeches from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King as we approach the Dr. King holiday. And I just want people to understand what the fight was about, the reason that his life was taken, and the fact that if you listen to what he was talking about in 1967, we aren't so far away from that today. And it is frustrating, more than frustrating, to hear people who don't know about these things, who clearly want to say, you know, that that makes people feel bad. You know, injustice ought to make people feel bad, right? And the fact that, you know, these things have occurred, continue to occur in this nation, we've got to face it. So let's go to the phone lines quickly with CJ before we go back to Dr. King's The Other America. CJ, if you will, quickly.
Yeah, thank you, Earl. Dr. King, loved his speeches. I want to go back to the day where we're judged by our content of character and not the color of
Okay, so let me say this to you before you go there. As I said before, Dr. King also, you're going to hear a speech where he's going to say that the dream that I had became a nightmare. When Dr. King said, judge a person by the content of their character and not the color of their skin, he was in his 20s. This is Dr. King at the age of 39. He himself said that at the time that he said we should judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, that was a dream. His dream. It didn't happen, and that's why he said his dream became a nightmare. You'll hear it because we're going to play it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, also January 2nd, there was an Alabama student, a black young black man that said, I'm leaving college because this is all about indoctrination and not education. So the mere fact that now, and look at Stanford. You just played a speech where he was playing in Stanford. You know you can't say grandfather in Stanford anymore.
Hey, CJ, let me.
Or America.
Hey, CJ.
You can't say
I'm not going to get into foolishness. Foolishness is you saying, cut him off, man. And then let's bring Dr. King back up because, you know, here's a prime example of someone who cannot comprehend what this is about. And the fact that he wants to ignore what Dr. King is saying, and he wants to go back, meaning CJ, he wants to go back to when Dr. King said, judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, and dismisses what this Dr. King, who is a more evolved person, having lived longer, and who realized that the dream that he had was not becoming a reality. Connor, I don't know, are you still looking for it? Okay, because, all right, start it up again.
Continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention. Now let me go on to say that if we are to deal with all of the problems that I've talked about, if we are to bring America to the point that we have one nation, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, there are certain things that we must do. The job ahead must be massive and positive. We must develop massive action programs all over the United States of America in order to deal with the problems that I have mentioned. Now, in order to develop these massive action programs, we've got to get rid of one or two false notions that continue to exist in our society. One is the notion that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. I'm sure you've heard this idea. It is the notion almost that is something in the very flow of time that will miraculously cure all evils. And I've heard this over and over again. There are those, and they're often sincere people, who say to Negroes and their allies in the white community that we should slow up and just be nice and patient and continue to pray, and in 100 or 200 years the problem will work itself out, because only time can solve the problem. Well, I think that is an answer to that myth, and it is that time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively. And I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme rightists in our nation, have often used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words of the bad people and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that social progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. And so we must help time, and we must realize that the time is always right to do right. Now, there's another notion that gets out. It's around everywhere. It's in the South. It's in the North. It's in California and all over our nation. It's a notion that legislation can't solve the problem. It can't do anything in this area. And those who project this argument contend that you've got to change the heart and that you can't change the heart through legislation. Now, I would be the first one to say that there is real need for a lot of heart changing in our country. And I believe in changing the heart. I preach about it. I believe in the need for conversion in many instances and regeneration, to use theological terms. And I would be the first to say that if the race problem in America is to be solved, the white person must treat the Negro right, not merely because the law says it, but because it's natural, because it's right, and because the Negro is his brother. And so I realize that if we are to have a truly integrated society, men and women will have to rise to the majestic heights of being obedient to the unenforceable. But after saying this, let me say another thing which gives the other side, and that is that although it may be true that morality cannot be legislated, behavior can be regulated. Even though it may be true that the law cannot change the heart, it can restrain the heartless. Even though it may be true that the law cannot make a man love me, it can restrain him from lynching me. And I think that's pretty important also. And so while the law may not change the hearts of men, it can and it does change the habits of men. And when you begin to change the habits of men, pretty soon the attitudes will be changed. Pretty soon the hearts will be changed. Now, I'm convinced that we still need strong civil rights legislation. And there's a bill.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Again, you are listening to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in 1967 at Stanford University, The Other America. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Well, y'all came on the boat looking for home, and all you can say is that you're looking for dough. These days ain't no compromise, and your pain ain't mine's half the time. A brand new excuse ain't I mean, bitch, I made my moves with shackle feet, Cape Town. In today's day and age, we practice the self-pity of taking the easy way out. You ain't on them, him, and her. But when a blessing take too long, that's when you go wrong. You selfish mother. Why so sad? Walking around with them blue faces. She said I'm down on my luck and it's something I gotta have. Blue faces. I hit the bank, your dad told him color me bad. I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrolipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I just I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 27 tonight under cloudy skies, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 38. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 34, overcast skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 29.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
So, all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm going to just try to get through this. We got a few more minutes of Dr. King's The Other America. So, Connor, let's just get right at it.
Federal open housing bill, a federal law declaring discrimination in housing unconstitutional, and also a bill to make the administration of justice real all over our country. Now, nobody can doubt the need for this. Nobody can doubt the need if he thinks about the fact that since 1963, some 58 Negroes and white civil rights workers have been brutally murdered in the state of Mississippi alone. Not a single person has been convicted for these dastardly crimes. There have been some indictments, but no one has been convicted. And so there is a need for the whole question of the administration of justice. There is a need for fair housing laws all over our country. And it is tragic indeed that Congress last year allowed this bill to die. And that bill died in Congress. A bit of democracy died. A bit of our commitment to justice died. And if it happens again in this session of Congress, a greater degree of our commitment to democratic principles will die. And I can see no more dangerous trend in our country than the constant developing of predominantly Negro-central cities ringed by white suburbs. This is only inviting social disaster. And the only way this problem will be solved is by the nation taking a strong stand and by state governments taking a strong stand against housing segregation and against discrimination in all of these areas. Now, there's another thing that I'd like to mention as I talk about the massive action program, and time will not permit me to go into specific programmatic action to any great degree. But it must be realized now that the Negro cannot solve the problem by himself. There again, there are those who always say to Negroes, why don't you do something for yourself? Why don't you lift yourselves by your own bootstraps? And we hear this over and over again. Now, certainly, there are many things that we must do for ourselves and that only we can do for ourselves. Certainly, we must develop within a sense of dignity and self-respect that nobody else can give us. A sense of manhood, a sense of personhood. A sense of not being ashamed of our heritage, not being ashamed of our color. It was wrong and tragic that the Negro ever allowed himself to be ashamed of the fact that he was black, or ashamed of the fact that his home, ancestral home, was Africa. And so there's a great deal that the Negro can do to develop self-respect. There's a great deal that the Negro must do and can do to amass political and economic power within his own community and by using his own resources. So we must do certain things for ourselves, but this must not negate the fact and cause the nation to overlook the fact that the Negro cannot solve the problem himself. A man was on the plane with me some weeks ago, and he came and talked with me, and he said, the problem, Dr. King, that I see with what you all are doing is that every time I see you and other Negroes, you are protesting, and you aren't doing anything for yourselves. And he went on to tell me that he was very poor at one time, and he was able to make it by doing something for himself. Why don't you teach your people, he said, to lift themselves by their own bootstraps? And then he went on to say other groups face disadvantages, the Irish, the Italians, and he went down the line. And I said to him that it does not help the Negro, it only deepens his frustration for unfeeling and sensitive people to say to him that other ethnic groups who migrated or were immigrants to this country just 100 years ago or so have gotten beyond him, and he came here some 344 years ago. And I went on to remind him that the Negro came to this country involuntarily in chains, while others came voluntarily. I went on to remind him that no other racial group has been a slave on American soil. I went on to remind him that the other problem that we have faced over the years is that the society placed a stigma on the color of the Negro, on the color of his skin, because he was black. Doors were closed to him that were not closed to other groups. And I'm to say to people that you ought to lift yourself by your own bootstraps, but it is a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. The fact is that millions of Negroes, as a result of centuries of denial and neglect, have been left bootless, and they find themselves impoverished aliens in this affluent society. And that is a great deal that the society can and must do if the Negro is to gain the economic security that he needs. Now, one of the answers, it seems to me.
We've got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. At 10 minutes left in this spectacular and heart-stopping and mind-altering speech of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, 1967. Stanford University, about a year or so before his assassination. We'll be back.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Widespread Russian rocket attacks across Ukraine. Air raid sirens sounding over central Kyiv today. The Russian attack striking cities from Lviv to Kharkiv, with 5 people killed, at least 10 people reported hurt in an attack in Dnipro. Even more rain today in water-soaked California. Belinda Arregaya the executive director of the nonprofit Alliance.
It's been such a hard time for us here. We have seen so many suffering because flood came into their homes, especially in our farm worker community. Appliances that have been displaced and not working, they can't cook, we lost electricity.
As a special counsel looks into classified documents from President Biden's time as vice president, founded his home in Washington office, the announcement today of more documents discovered in an area adjacent to Biden's garage. This is another special counsel looks into the classified documents that were found at former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. This is ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Scott Wheeler from the Epoch Times. It's Friday, that's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sir, I just, you know, you're pretty aggressive and irritated if we're Americans just like you are. But all Americans don't look through the same prism. And there's some of us that are Americans who see the amount of money that we spend on military. We make up 4% of the global population. And yet we far outstrip any other nation. And some, all of them combined, and we continue to spend almost $1 trillion a year, again, making up only 4% of the population. And you say that other nations shouldn't see that as a threat. I don't understand that.
Well, if you could demonstrate to me a pattern. Look, I respect all points of view, but at the same time, you have to look at facts. And the facts are China says it is announced, and it's done this for decades, what its objectives are. And when they when your potential enemy tells you what their objective is, you should believe them.
Well,
and when you see China is on track to have 5 aircraft carriers and 10 ballistic missile submarines.
How many do we have?
In 6 years,
sir,
7 years.
How many do we have?
Not that many.
We have less than that.
Well, we don't have less than 5 aircraft carriers. We have the largest.
We will have, because we are mothballing our aircraft carriers. We have some,
but they
are non-functional.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. We are not preparing for war with China. China is preparing for war with us.
Well, you know.
Look at the data. Look at the facts. China is on track. Look, you don't build aircraft carriers and ballistic submarines.
Well, I think you build them if someone who has announced that they are your enemy has them. And the United States has.
We've never announced that China's our enemy. Oh, they've announced that we're their enemy.
No. We've declared in many ways. We've declared in many ways, and many politicians have declared that China is the threat to America. And we've talked about it.
Because China tells us they're a threat. When your enemy tells you that they're going to conquer you, should believe them.
Well, when your enemy, you just stated a conclusion. You see, 20 years ago, and now maybe you were of a belief that 20 years ago China was our enemy, but 20 years ago we were not talking like that. We were of a belief that China was an economic ally, essentially, that they were a source of a big potential marketplace for us, and that they were a place that had many workers that could build what we wanted. And so China was viewed quite differently. We have evolved a different view of China over this time period.
Okay, well, hold on here a second. You're right about that. We had very foolish and naive beliefs about China, and part of the reason was because China was paying politicians to believe that, paying them lots of money, millions. But let me explain to you, while we thought that they were our economic partners and our strategic partners and said as much, China was saying, we're going to initiate the war with the West. They were saying, you won't trade L.A. for Taipei when they were talking about invading Taiwan. They said, the U.S. will not trade L.A. for Taipei, meaning if we go into Taipei, if you try to stop us, we will nuke L.A., Los Angeles. Those are belligerent and words and threats. And they've been saying them. While we were trying to be their ally, they were saying quietly and in some cases out loud, we're going to defeat you.
Well, I think that in many respects that had to do with and was a reaction to our policies associated with Taiwan. And Taiwan obviously is very contested. What the policies are towards Taiwan and Taiwan's status in the world and Taiwan's status vis-a-vis China are all very contested issues, so complicated that we have adopted a policy of purposeful ambiguity. You know, we've decided that we can't say with words what our policy is because our policy is basically that we have agreed that
because we don't.
Well, I don't know if we do or not, because we have this ambiguous policy, and we haven't had a president who's willing to declare what our policy is, other than the fact that we've said that we're Taiwan to be invaded with force, that we would consider providing support to Taiwan. That support is also always ambiguous, and it's apparently at this point, at least, restricted to armaments. And the status of that government, it remains ambiguous as far as we're concerned. And the status of Taiwan itself has been ambiguous. They believed that they were, when the Kuomintang was in power, I think they believed that they were the government of China and that China was an intact country that was in fact subject to the control of the party in power on Taiwan. And it wasn't until about 2019 that people on Taiwan began to talk about what they called separatism. Separatism usually suggests that
you're separating from a country that you are currently a part of. So I think the whole situation in Taiwan is very ambiguous, and I think that the American policies toward it could do nothing but fan flames if you were a Chinese government.
Hey, Scott.
So that's the same kind of logic, stream of logic, that would have lost us the Cold War, because many people like you, people who were not you, but like you, who thought like you during the Cold War, believed that we should give the Soviet Union whatever they want because they've got nuclear weapons and they could be dangerous.
No, nothing of what I just said was dependent upon the threat of nuclear warfare with Taiwan. And in fact, I don't think that people felt that way about Russia and the Cold War. I think that, first of all,
well, they did.
The Warsaw Pact.
I can assure you they did. You can go back and read their own writing. Again,
I lived through it. I lived through it, Scott, and I was a student
served during it. And I can tell you precisely who our biggest enemy was, mostly Democrats. In the United States, they undermined every effort we made to defeat the Soviet Union. Most of them, there were, but most Democrats were the ones undermining our efforts to defeat the Soviet Union. And they're the ones who were easily defeated by China, who have now been the mouthpieces for communist China.
Here's what I don't understand. When you talk about defeating the Soviet Union, there were nuclear weapons.
Well, I don't think the Cold War was ever a situation in which the United States was going to defeat the Soviet Union. And in fact, the collapse of the Soviet Union.
We did.
Well, the Soviet Union collapsed, and it collapsed in a vacuum. And I don't think there are many Americans. I mean, some would say that Reagan's parry and thrust with respect to the Star Wars called Russia to spend itself into military oblivion by too much military expenditure.
It was Strategic Defense Initiative, by the way.
Yeah,
and
Star Wars,
that's what caused it. Gorbachev, no, it's Strategic Defense Initiative. Star Wars is the name of a movie series. Gorbachev himself said that was the end result, that they could not spend. Their military was a paper tiger. Our intelligence was wrong about them. They did not have the ability maintain the kind of forces.
Scott, hang on a second. I want to bring a caller in. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a couple of comments to make about Scott's assertion about China. China makes a lot of statements that they want to be a superpower to rival the United States. And the fact of the matter is they will be one day a superpower. However, it will be a very tenuous superpower. Number one, they have a very closed economy in many ways. Oftentimes, they manipulate their foreign markets. We cannot conduct audits for many of their companies in order to trade on our American exchanges, on the New York Stock Exchange. But one comment that I do want to ask Scott, or one question I do have for him. One of the reasons why China is such a superpower right now is because of the investment of American dollars. And if China goes to war with the United States, they do realize that many of those American companies, that money that has been flowing into China, that money would cease. So they would not have the necessary revenues available to sustain a war. How would China sustain a war with the United States once they get caught off and we are no longer purchasing their products? Because it may be difficult for us to find other products, but of course there will be other countries that will be more than happy to fill that gap. So, Scott, that's my question for you.
It's a great question, Cassandra. Scott, you want to respond?
Spot on. Everything you said is accurate. The the one issue I would take with it is, yes, they're dependent on these corporations, but look how they've gotten these corporations. They've actually enticed them into investing in China, and then once they get their plans, this happened repeatedly in the 1990s. Let me address Cassandra's concern, because she asked a legitimate question, and she obviously knows what she's talking about. China was enticing American corporations to come into China, and they would make them file. For example, there was a very big case in 1994 in Plant 85 in Columbus, Ohio. The union wanted to buy Plant 85 from McDonnell Douglas, and McDonnell Douglas would not sell Plant 85, which made MX missiles for the U.S. military, would not sell the factory to the union. Instead, they got the Clinton administration to give them an export control to sell Plant 85 to China for less money than the union was willing to pay for the factory. Then China turned it into a silkworm missile factory. We confirmed that. This happened over and over and over again in the 90s and has been happening ever since, but it really began and got in full force in. But what to Cassandra's point, have the financial capability to sustain a war with the U.S. They are taking – it's not going to happen tomorrow or next week, but they are – if you look at their global initiatives, the Belt and Road Initiative, they are securing critical elements to our weapon systems like lithium, lanthanides, and yttrium, dysprosium. They are securing around the world critical elements that we need for our military, and they are going to control the flow of those elements.
So, Scott, my issue with what you said is China enticed the business community to come to China. I was working in industry at that time, and when the company that I worked at went overseas, it wasn't because China somehow enticed them. It was because our government passed the laws that made it possible for those companies to go overseas. They couldn't have done any of that without our government agreeing to that. So they didn't entice them to do anything.
Look, I just said that. I pointed this out. They did this. They went to what did McDonnell Douglas do? They went to the Clinton administration, who was getting millions of dollars in illegal campaign donations from communist China, to issue an export license so they could export highly sensitive U.S. weapons technology to China.
We didn't have to agree with that.
He's talking about a specific plant and a specific, but the World Trade Organization,
by the way, we didn't. Our military export control regime was raising Cain over this. While it was being approved, they were saying, we cannot let this factory go to China. They will turn it into a silkworm missile factory. It was the politicians, it was Bill Clinton specifically, that signed the export control waiver saying, we're going to override our own advice from the military saying don't send it, and we're going to let them buy it. They did that.
Scott,
it was a politician.
Let me
go to break, Sandy, and then we'll let you respond.
No, I'm not going to respond. I have a question.
Yeah, because we're right at the top of the hour. Can we go on, or we need to take the break?
Yeah, we need to go to break.
All right, we got to go to break. We'll be right back.
You'd never knowingly feed your pup mystery meat or spoiled grocery store food, so why are those some of the most common protein sources in kibble today? Yep, the dog food ingredient, Meat Meal, can be made of spoiled supermarket meat and packing plant scraps.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldstein. Your dog needs a biologically appropriate diet similar to what they would eat in the wild. That's why I developed Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw food made with premium cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, and superfood veggies and fruit.
Bailey is 12 years old. He
has been on your food for 9 bags now.
Nature's Blend is pantry safe and has zero artificial preservatives, additives, filler, or meat meal.
He's got more energy, able to run around and play when our grandson comes.
For a limited time, save 54% off Nature's Blend and receive a free pack of premium dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/Marty or text Marty to 511-511.
I can't thank you enough. He's 12 and I'm enjoying every day with him.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to one additional text. Text stop to opt out.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 27 tonight under cloudy skies, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 38 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 34, overcast skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 29.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. Friday's with Sandy Williams. My guest is Scott Wheeler of Epic Times. Sandy,
So, Scott, I understand what you're saying, and that your view is that China is a threat, and it's a threat that is sitting ready to do something to the United States. You know, you talk about the threat of trading L.A. for Taiwan. And you talk about how it is that they're building.
I understand that.
And you talk about their Belt and Road Initiative as being one that creates, and at least economically creates threats because it puts them in control of some vital resources. So my question is, what is the implication of all this? Because essentially you're describing China as our enemy, and you've indicated that. China views us as their enemy. It's hard to tell where that started, right? Who's the one that initiated the "you're our enemy" kind of a view of things? But once two countries decide that they're enemies of one another, it begins to dictate a bunch of behaviors. It dictates what kind of munitions you build, what kind of infrastructure militarily you build, and how you conduct yourself. And so, you know, there is definitely in world affairs the Newtonian principles of actions and equal and opposite reactions, and we obviously have that in play with China. But all of your talk about China suggests to me that what is the policy you think we ought to be implementing with China? Should we be considering a preemptive war against China to stop them in their belts and suspenders initiative, and to do what?
It's Belt and Road Initiative, but we should take back our industrial base to the United States. Yeah. We all remember the shortage of masks, and China was the only place you could buy them. Why in the world have we allowed this to happen? It's at the political level that all these decisions have been made. We've allowed our own industry to migrate to China.
Well, now, Scott, I was in business for a long career, and I had clients who moved to China. I can guarantee you that the United States government had nothing to do with their decision to move. What China did have to offer people was a very organized approach to building a new factory and finding workers. So if anybody invented a new widget that they wanted to get manufactured quickly, many of them went to China because it was much easier to build the widget. The Apple phone.
That's not inconsistent with what I said.
You said the government fostered it, and I'm saying the government made it possible
to not let our. Look, Here's what. Our government created a very hostile business environment for American companies and China. You guys were accusing me of misstating something by saying China enticed U.S. businesses. They enticed them by creating an environment of cheap labor and lack of government oversight. Now, a lot of that was a facade, and it did not turn out as many businesses, many industries discovered once they got there, trying to the agreements that they signed. But that's a different issue. What happened was our own business, look, for example, one huge stupid thing, and I wrote lots of stuff about this and produced an entire documentary on this alone. We had a mine in Southern California, an open mine that was producing what's called lanthanides, rare earths. They are critical for our strategic defense. Now, China was in the 1990s, China was paying certain politicians in the United States and had a very good relationship with spouses of those politicians. And they wanted the Mountain Pass mine shut down because they wanted the Baotou rare. At that time, the Mountain Pass mine in Southern California produced 92% of the world's lanthanides and almost 100% of the United States. They claimed that the Mountain Pass mine was an environmental hazard, shut it down, and then we began importing all of our lanthanides from the Baotou rare earth mine in China. In 2004, Baotou says while we're in the middle of a war, two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, they say, hey, we're not going to sell you any more lanthanides. Just shut us off. Those were critical elements for our JDAMs and our missile guidance systems, the things that we really relied on. And China said, no, we're not going to sell them to you anymore. The Defense Department suddenly woke up, ignoring my 1998 documentary that said this would happen, completely ignored it, and then suddenly their hair is on fire. We need these elements, rare earth elements, and we can't get them because China says we're not selling them to you. They truncated the market. That was what they did. That's economic warfare, and China was involved in it. And just as you pointed out, at that time, we were calling China our buddies and our friends. We were willing to let them sell us the critical elements that are used in high-tech weapon systems. You see what I mean? I mean, it makes no sense unless you look at it from that understanding, that perspective.
Well, you know, clearly the opinions that you have rendered that's what they are. They're not facts. And whether
well,
or not.
They are facts.
No, whether or not.
Everything I said is fact. I didn't make up any of this. It's not my opinion. Well, I recited facts for you.
Well, again.
Things that actually happened.
Well, again, based on the fact that China is now one of our arch enemies, again, somebody that we've been a major trading partner with over the last two decades or three decades, this is not in keeping with the fact that we have become those trading partners, and the fact that others want to somehow ignore that, and now they're the arch enemy number one in this nation. It's hard for a lot of us to swallow when we know that, you know, all of our corporations that were there and waxing rich off employing those people from China, all of a sudden now they're our number one enemies. Look, we got to go. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Cutter, for a great week. Sandy, as always, thank you. We'll be back on next Monday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.